Well, it's amazing, isn't it? Even in a time where you get your days mixed up, that you can still feel a holiday weekend when it's here. And the weather is a little cooler, and hopefully we're getting into a respite from the heat. But the Lord's Day just feels special each week. You always know when it's the Lord's Day. It has a different feel in every day of the week. What a joy that we can remember the Lord's death and celebrate His resurrection together today. Thank you for your interest in the things of God and your participation in the worship service. And we're certainly thankful to have our members who are still confined to home being able to join us on the live stream this morning. I want to read a familiar passage from Matthew, the 11th chapter. A passage that sometimes we just refer to as Jesus' invitation. Somebody says, well, why do you always offer an invitation at the end of the sermon? Well, we're just extending what was offered by Jesus Christ. It's not my invitation. It's not the invitation of the church. It's from the Lord Himself. These words in Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. Now, if you saw the graphic for today, you noticed that I chose a word from the King James, also the ESV, where the New American Standard has, ye who are weary. Those versions have, ye that labor. And part of that is because tomorrow is Labor Day. Now, I don't know about you, but I've always had trouble mixing up Memorial Day and Labor Day. I know they're always on a Monday. I know it's a holiday. I know you can get a pretty good deal on mattresses and appliances on both days. But Labor Day actually started all the way back in 1894 when Grover Cleveland was president. The Congress wanted one more federal holiday between July 4th and Thanksgiving. And so they chose the first Monday of September to honor then the labor unions. It's come to be a day where we celebrate all American workers. But interestingly enough, we do celebrate labor through rest. And Jesus uses that word twice in his invitation. If I was making the movie, it would look like this. It's the end of a long, hot, hard work day. And the sun is setting. And the fishermen are coming in from the sea, and the workmen are coming in from the fields. And they see Jesus. And he's standing up on a rock. And he has his arms outstretched. And he says, come to me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The word labor that is used here in the Greek, or weary, means hard toil. It's the same word that Peter used in Luke chapter 5 when Jesus said to him, put out your nets into the deep water for a catch. And you remember how Peter refused at first and said, Master, we have worked hard all night. That's that word, labor. Well, who is Jesus calling to him? Those who are toiling and spinning their wheels because of sin. The rest that he is offering is not inactivity. It's rest from the burden of sin. Come to me and I will give you rest from those things. Well, you would think something as significant as this invitation by Jesus would be in all of the gospel accounts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John would mention it. Isn't it interesting? It's only found in Matthew's account. Matthew, writing to predominantly his Jewish brethren. Well, what would that audience understand about Jesus' invitation of rest, relief, peace? Jesus even quotes from Jeremiah 6 in verse 16 when he said, "You shall have rest for your souls." That's where the prophet said to seek the better way, the ancient paths, the good way, and walk in it, and you shall find rest for your souls. Again, Matthew helps Jesus' audience connect that to prophecy. That this is something that God has always wanted for His people, for them to be at rest. What if I were to tell you this morning that Jesus' invitation was not a new one? This wasn't the first time God was inviting His people to have rest. Jesus' invitation is the same one that was offered to Adam and Eve. Go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2 in the account of creation. Genesis 1 tells us all the things that God created in the beginning and placed in their habitation, all pointing to and culminating in His creation of Adam and Eve in day 6. And so Genesis chapter 2 begins this way. "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their hosts. And by the seventh day, God completed His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which He had created and made." So 6 days God made the heavens and the earth. On the seventh day, His work was completed, and He rested. And don't you know, God was thinking, "I've got to get off my feet. Boy, I've just been slaving away, making everything for 6 days, and I'm worn out." Remember, my first job was between my junior and senior years of high school. And I worked for a company over by Intercontinental Airport that was a trucking company. And the department I worked in was the maintenance for all these trucks, keep them running. And mostly I was in the office as a paper chaser. I would have to take documents from this office and copy them and take them over here, or take them from this place and file them. And I was always going past the secretary for the director of maintenance. And I would go by this way, and she was playing solitaire. And I'd go back this way, and she's reading a magazine. And I'd go back another time, and she'd say, "Bubba, I'm going out for a break." And I remember thinking, "What are you taking a break from? Well, do you really think God rested because He was weary?" Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 40 and verse 28, "The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator, does not become weary or tired." Well, why then would God choose a day of rest? Jesus Jesus helps us with the answer. When he was criticized for the work he was doing on the Sabbath, he reminded those religious leaders in Mark chapter 2, the Sabbath was made for man. God wanted a day where he and man could rest, where they could have fellowship, where the last thing he created on day 6, Adam and Eve, could have one day to be together. It's like Tammy Ellis told me several months ago, her new outlook on life. She said, I just want to be with my kids. Well, that's the way our Father feels. He just wants to be with his children. And you know what Adam and Eve said? We don't want that. We want what Satan's offering. And they did not enter his rest. Well, did you know that Jesus' invitation of rest was the same thing God offered to the people of Israel? His holy nation, his special people in Exodus chapter 20, when he brought them out of Egypt and led them to Mount Sinai, and now is going to give them a law so that they could know how to please him, and he would be their God, and they would be his people. And he gives them the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. And look what commandment 4 is in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the seventh Sabbath day and made it holy. Now we understand that this command given, remember the Sabbath day, was given to the sons of Israel. I do not mean to imply that we are still under a law that says, remember the Sabbath day. You continue reading in the book of Exodus, chapter 31 and verse 17. He says, this is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. But does the principle still apply? 6 days you shall do your work. Verse 10, on the seventh day you shall not do any work. That's what Sabbath means. Shabbat, it means to cease or desist. What was he teaching them? There are things that are more important than things. You need to have a day where you don't think about, how am I going to pay the bills? And you don't think about, well, when's this work going to get done? But it is sanctified and holy. It's devoted to you and God. For you to give thanks for all the blessings and to show faith that he will continue to bless you. And you know what Israel said? We don't want that rest. Later, that command was even applied to the land that they lived in. Every seventh year, they were to let the land lay fallow. Don't sow seed. Don't harvest the crops. Even the land has a year of rest. Almost like, are you going to trust me to continue to provide or not? And they didn't do that. And so he forced them into captivity until the land for 70 years enjoyed its Sabbath. You know what I saw during quarantine? I saw people doing things that they would have never chosen to do until they were forced to. Can't go to work. Kids can't go to school. Let's go outside and play. Let's walk the dog, go on a bike ride. Let's play games in the house. Restaurants are closed. Perish the thought. Let's eat at home around our table. God wants you to choose His rest. He's not going to force that on you. He's offering rest and relief from the burdens of sin. He wants you to choose that. And you know what we say? I don't want that rest. Later in Hebrews chapter 4, the Hebrew writer speaks of how the people of Israel spurned God's invitation. He had offered them rest, and by their disobedience, they refused. In verse 1 of Hebrews 4, therefore let us fear, lest while a promise remains of entering His rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as He has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although His works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He has thus said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works, and again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter it because of disobedience, He again fixes a certain day today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Do you see that God has continued to make this offer to man to have rest? It's what God has always wanted from the beginning. And through hardness of heart, unbelief, we've rejected His invitation. I don't want that rest. And even if His readers, again, these Jewish Christians who are being tempted by persecution to return to the old law, said, don't think that the rest He was offering was the land of Canaan. If that were so, His next point is, why did David speak of rest? If Joshua gave them rest, why did David, long after that, continue to speak of rest? Verse 8, for if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. There remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. The offer is still there. It remains. Who's going to accept it? For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. See, we can have rest from our souls. We can have rest over the burden of sin. We can have rest eternally. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone should fall through following the same example of disobedience. This invitation that Jesus offers is the same one offered at the beginning, offered to Israel. And then we see it again all the way at the end in Revelation chapter 14. Revelation 14 and verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. Sometimes you'll be reading an obituary, and it'll say, so-and-so entered their heavenly rest on this day. The day they died. And that's the way we speak of eternal life, isn't it? Eternal rest. Well, that's what's being offered here. The reason these who die in the Lord are blessed is that they may rest from their labors. They may have what God offered. They may finally be in fellowship with God eternally. Can you really expect to hear, well done, when you have not labored? Well done implies you've worked. You labored in the Lord. You saw it as a labor of love. And now you have rest. It's what Jesus is offering. Come to me, ye that labor, and I will give you rest. His invitation is what the whole Bible has been about. God offering rest, and man saying, I don't want that. What will be your response to Jesus' invitation? Are you going to continue struggling and working hard internally because of your sin? Are you going to continue to be burdened with a load that you can never rid yourself of without Jesus? Are you going to come to him and have rest? In so doing, you'll have hope of eternal rest with God, where he says, I will dwell among them. Isn't it interesting that the first 6 days of creation, there was evening, there was morning, first day. Never says that about the seventh day. That's because there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And it will never, ever end. Come to Him this morning and confess your faith and be baptized. Come back to Him so you can have rest for your soul. Jesus is offered. Will you respond right now while together we stand up and while we sing?